Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty. Welcome to the show. Today I have Lane Steele of Worldwide Panic. Thank you for joining me.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
Dealing with life.
You know, that is, I think that's not ever fun. I mean, I guess it can be, but life can be complicated and complicated emotions and all that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for those who may not have heard of you, can you give me a little bit of tidbit on your band and you?
So I've been doing this music industry thing for about 22 years. It's something that I feel like I'm very good at, but sometimes I struggle to find validation with the actions that I do. I'm not, you know, some people get in this business to seek validation from others. I do it because I want to feel good about myself. You know, I do know how to quote unquote play the game, and it sickens me how good I am at playing it. But it's very fake, especially here in Los Angeles, and you have to put on quite a veneer to do that. And it does eventually take a toll. Where I'm at right now is I have 4 chart-topping singles, including 2 Billboard singles, and a best-selling album on iTunes. And we've been on over 10 tours at this point as a band, working on releasing our second sophomore record, which is called The Greatest Villain the World Has Ever Seen, which is a cathartic experience of me talking about how I feel vilified by this industry and people. So it's a little bit of a darker departure than some of our previous work. And that is due out either August or September. We're still working on release dates and finalizing the printing and so forth of that. But nice. We're going to be doing 3 smaller tours this year, starting next month. And, you know, that is where we are at. That is where we have been. And that is what we are doing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Is this something that you've always wanted to do, or did something happen in your life that was like that light switch moment that this is what I'm doing?
So, yeah, this is what my hesitance was about talking about this, because it's like, you know, of course, there's got to be some traumatic thing for you to sit up there and yell into a microphone to get attention. So obviously that I don't know if that's obvious, but to me it is. It's like there was this situation where I got sent away to a emotional growth boarding school and boot camp.
Okay.
2 separate places owned by the same company. Both came under fire, for, not good practices.
Okay.
And, during that time, I decided that I was doing show business since I was 6 years old. I've been doing acting since I was 6 years old, which eventually, I don't know if he's going to work out in my age right now. Some people are late boomers. Look at like Bryan Cranston from, you know, Breaking Bad or whatever. Like, you know, he kind of, you know, started in the middle of his life, right? I kind of strayed away from the acting thing and tried to do the music thing because, you know, music and the action of singing metal songs, I felt helped me through that period of time.
Sure.
And it literally saved my life, so I feel like I'm indebted to that kind of music, and you know, that's kind of what led me down this path. And has prevented me from getting a good job.
Listen, I don't know very many musicians that have like, I have the music and I tour, and then some of them were like substitute teacher. You
Yeah,
know, it's
right.
so bizarre. It's not like it used to be to where, you know, there's these giant buses and you're going down the road and you have loads of money just to not often anyway.
Before Gene Simmons had a $500 million, he was a history teacher. Yeah, not a lot of people know that.
I love that. I love that. Well, I love that you said that you want that you owe something to the music, because I think that that's where the beauty comes in with that connection. And I don't think that details necessarily are ever necessary when it comes to mental health, whenever we've had an experience to where music has just saved us, because I think that it's saved a lot of people, or at least minimal been the background noise, you know, to our story of something that helped us. So I
Totally.
think that's important. Have you always done, I know you said you started at six. Did you always do music, or did you do commercials, or it was always music?
It was commercials. It was lots of sketch comedy. It was some bit parts, some one-liners, lots of plays, even acting books I took part of, where I was part of original plays that became books that were replicated to have original plays in schools and stuff like that, and that was a part of the original cast of those plays and stuff like that. There was it all seemed to dissipate after the incident that happened to me, and I just fully gave in to wanting to be in a band, and I was very, very bad. Like very bad at being a musician. I was terrible. I had you know, instruction through like a piano teacher who subsequently, while I was at the boarding school, he was murdered, and it drove me to want to succeed in music and his legacy even more, you know. So I'm kind of like living for two, you know. And even though I was a very bad student to him, and my ADD was terrible, and I'm a terrible piano player, he definitely believed in me, and believed that I, you know, had talent, you know, beyond just being an entertainer. And he was like the first person to like see it, as far as like the musical creative talent. Because you don't have to be a creative to be a good actor. You just have to read lines and, you know, get into a place. And you know, it just all the you know, relying on music to get me by during those hard times, and his death kind of just, you know, around, you know, 15, 16 years old, just drove me to completely give myself into the process of learning. And as I said, you know, and I hope that people are, you know, listening, I was very bad. So you might listen to my voice, and you might listen to my guitar playing and bass playing and compositions and say, oh my God, Lane's great. Well, that's very nice of you to say. However, it didn't fucking start that way. And I was very bad. I did not have good pitch. I did not have good rhythm. I did not have good concept of oneself. And it took a lot of work, a lot of vocal coaches, a lot of, even when I went to music school in the early 2000s, I went to MI, which is Musicians Institute here in Hollywood. I would classify myself as very bad. And, you know, I think what's made me stand out to my peers was my tenacity and my stage presence. And I think that it was evident that I wasn't going anywhere. And I think that, all these years later, that there's so many of my contemporaries that, decided to, I was talking to my wife about this the other day, that decided to, go back home to mom, and, go back, live at the wherever the hell they're from, whatever corner of the world they're from, and go back and, like, talk about the glory days of what it was like to be a real rocker. And it's like, my drummer and I, current drummer, his name is Kyle Mayer. He's also in a band called September Morning and was in a band called 10 Years.
Okay.
Him and I met, I don't want to even say how many years ago because it's going to age me, but a long time ago. And we went to college together. And, I feel like we're like two warriors, like fighting through time. Like, and, it's like we're the last of a dying breed, and we're still fighting the good fight, and we're still having successes and failures. And it's like, of course, like we teamed up and are in a band together. That makes perfect sense. So,
I love that. I love that. The full circle of it coming back around. And so in the world, there is so much just, I guess, heaviness and things that aren't inspiring. What inspires you to continue going?
I'm coming from a different place than I've previously come at things. I'm coming from a place of humility and gratitude that it's like, I've been through so much just with this band, not even my whole career. And I just am so grateful that people still want me to play, that are still, taking a chance and booking my band, and God bless, people are still buying pre-sale tickets and, having a reason to do this, to the tune of where we're doing three of these tours a year, and putting out music videos and putting out records and putting out singles and going to radio with songs. And it's like, I think that you have to really consider, like, when you take a song to radio, you really are like, everybody on that team has to believe in that song. You know what I mean? And it's not just like some, kind of passive thing. Like, everybody on that team has to believe in that song to the point of where you're gonna, like, okay, we're gonna get enough stations to add this stuff, and it's gonna chart, on, Billboard, whatever. And it takes a lot to have that kind of belief and faith system in your own music. And a lot of people are like, yeah, my music's okay, and it's like, no, my music's better than okay, I think.
Yeah, you have to own it. I mean,
And I believe in what we're doing, and people believe in what we're doing. And I appreciate everybody who, has helped my journey. Even the people that I feel have taken advantage of me and misappropriated my hard work and accolades that come with it for their own self gain, I appreciate that experience because it's taught me what I don't want to have had, in what I don't want to have, excuse me, in my current circle of what I'm, dealing with. And it's like, the current lineup of the band, it's like, just as I said, you got guys like Kyle, who I've known, for decades. And my guitar player is like a really, even keel guy from Washington, where I grew up too. He's about 30 minutes outside of where I grew up. And he's just very, level-headed, even keel, and he's extremely funny. He's got this monotone thing that he does and says stuff that's really fucking funny that shouldn't be funny. And he's got a way about him. But everybody believes in the music. Everybody believes in, me as a person and, my heart being in the right place. And, there's no one here to, take advantage of me and bleed me dry and then, leave. And I think that that's better than I can say about the previous lineup of guys being respectful to
Sure.
whoever, whatever,
Sure.
so.
Sounds like you've done a lot of self-reflection and
Yeah, I'm just
trying to move
grateful.
forward and
I'm just really grateful that anybody wants me around, because there's plenty of people who don't, and it's just like the people who do, it's like God bless you and thank you for, keeping the light on,
yeah, respect the evolution of people. I mean, definitely time and place, and there's going to always be people who don't want to be around you or don't like you or don't like the old version of you or the new version or whatever.
Right. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. All you can do is keep doing what you're empowered to do and try and be a better version of yourself or whatever an authentic version would be. What through this journey that you've had, and it sounds like it's been a long journey since you've been in the industry since six, what is something that you have learned about yourself that you're very confident about now? Just something that it could be one of many things, but what's something you've learned about yourself?
Nothing. I've learned a ton. I'm not confident in anything. I mean, I think that I my definition of a professional is different than a lot of people's definition of a professional. And I think that a lot of people's definition is like, okay, well, you're making money, okay, doing what you're doing. And we do make money. I mean, this isn't, we're not doing this, for free. But however, I think a professional to me is somebody who's able to, put things aside and go on a stage and prove their worth every single day. Go in a studio, get behind a microphone, prove your worth. Like, okay, so you did this, you did that, you did that. That's great. Can you do it right now? And that's, I guess, one of the things that stuck with me from being an actor all those years was like, you have to deliver.
Yeah, you gotta show up.
You have to show up. You have to put on the attitude. You can't, let, stuff bleed over, and I know I do a lot of Kiss references, but again, like Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons made it work for 50 years in a band together. And there were some days where Paul would tell you that, there's people who went on stage and interacted with each other like nothing was wrong, and then went off stage and didn't talk for days at a time. You could do that when you're in different buses and planes and all that shit. I really admire what they were able to do with, obviously there was so many different members in that band and stuff like that, but they were just able to make it work throughout the decades. And I think that, anybody can just admire, that that passion and that ability to just work through the problems instead of running away, like, I think it was in the 2010s, like Led Zeppelin, the remaining members were offered like $500 million or something, a billion, maybe it was $1 billion in total to reunite, and they said no. And they said no. There's three out of the four guys who are still alive, and they said no. And it's just, really narrow-minded to, I mean, look at what happened with Motley Crue. They called it quits, and then that movie came, and then the demand came back, and then so did they. So I, I'm still fighting the good fight. I feel like I have a lot more to give. I'm not one of these artists who just dwells in the singles. I dwell in, doing the chapters of life by doing the albums. We do, put out the singles periodically and, build the hype and build the demand. But I don't even know. I think my model is very outdated because I don't think that people really do listen to the full lengths anymore. I think I'm just doing it for myself at this point. You
I have a couple of people in the industry and they're like, I'm gonna put out a full link, but I don't know why, because everybody's like single, single, single. But
Yeah.
yeah, when it, back in the old days when we used to listen to the whole record.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that what you're saying bleeds over so much into life too, because I think in my experience I've had I'm pretty driven with what I do, and I'll keep going and keep going and keep going, and I'll always have people who won't quite be going the same speed as me. It's really hard to find people that you can connect with that are on the same speed as you, or same at least driven, like you say your bandmates are with you, that you're in kind of the same space and you love what you're doing. It's something that I think when you're driven to do something or you're called to do something, however you want to put it, I think it's hard to have people that can maintain the same as you. I think that's a really difficult
Oh, yeah.
place that we find ourselves in.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
How is your authenticity? How can you maintain authenticity in the music industry, I guess is the question.
Oh, I don't know if you can. I think that, I try to be as real as I possibly can be. But I see so many people, by and large, outside of just the me thing. I know you asked about me, but I'm talking about the bigger picture. I see so many people just show up to shows and they don't see the bands and they just posture to pseudo celebs the whole fucking time. And they're there to be fucking seen and they're there to, suck up to people. And it's like I think some of these band guys should invest in getting knee pads for their merch table, because they're down there, sucking up so much. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people are fake with it. And I, however, don't go to where I'm not wanted. I don't suck up to fucking anybody. And I just do my thing. And if people want to be around me, that's cool. If they don't, that's fucking cool too, I used to keep a really big circle of people. And my circle is getting smaller by the day. And I'm okay with that. I'm not one of these guys in LA that, unilaterally, like that big word, like gymnasium, needs to be liked by everybody. I think that there's tons of people who don't like me. I think that there's tons of people who don't advocate for my success, and fuck them.
I mean, that's fair, right? But you I think that not everybody has that what do we want to call that? Not everybody has that oomph. You know what I'm saying? Like so many people fight with like the people pleasing and all those different things that it's really hard for them to step outside the box and be like, not everybody's gonna like me. Fuck them if you don't. I've just recently grown to where I can say that. So
Yeah, it takes
it's
time.
yeah, it's a place. Do you have do you stay afterwards or do you meet with fans and things like that at the shows?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes there's some great moments that get shared at at those times. I mean, there was talking about mental health and just kind of, all that other shit. We play a song called Shrapnel. It's part of our set. It's kind of a live staple of the band. And people like to call it Five Finger Death Punch Light. I don't like Five Finger Death Punch personally. I don't care for that. I don't feel like there's any real artistry in that band, but that's just me. Shrapnel is a ode to veterans and troops. And it's a little time that we can, take away to give them some notice, give them some light, talk about their bravery, talk about their sacrifice, and talk about that's the reason why we're able to be in a room and safely play this music in front of you today. And that's part of, something that we really do believe in the band, whether you're left or right or in between. I think that's something that we all can, get behind respectively. And we played that song in Colorado Springs in one of the tours that we did, we opened for a band called Flaw. This gentleman, at first, security was going to descend on him because he approached the merch booth in tears and seeming like he was erratic. But, I felt something different in his presence, and I was, telling them to ease up, and I was listening to what he had to say, and he said, "I'm a vet," and he was crying. So, I took him backstage and I sat with him and I listened to his story. He was telling me that he had corrective ear surgery because an IED went off next to his head. He came to the show, and this was the first show that he could see and hear since this event. And we played this song for him, and it affected him emotionally. And I felt like that was worth more than, 100 paychecks, because it just, made me feel very emotionally fulfilled, like I was doing the right thing.
Yeah, your words were needed, and I think that's exactly where this podcast, has been born, is from moments like that, because the world doesn't always see that music is so impactful, but for some, it's life or death sometimes,
It really is.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So when I first ran across your little video on Instagram, I was just very hooked on some of your music, because the lyrics and things like that seem very, I won't say transparent, but they almost seem like anthems on some of your songs. And I feel like a lot of people in humanity, right, if we're talking about all of us as humans and being all the same, that everybody could listen to that and I would say know what you're talking about. They may not know what you're talking about, but
We must
they,
be
in their
talking
mind.
about my hit single, Break Me Down.
Yeah.
I'm sure we are. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Break me down. Yes, 100%.
Yes, of course.
I did not say it. Yes, break me down. But I noticed that too with some of your other songs, but Break Me Down was the first one that I saw that I was like, I have to talk to you. I have to see if you wanted to be on here, because the lyrics impacted me just by scrolling through. So, do you
Sure.
mind sharing about that story?
Of course, of course. What do you want to know?
Is there a story behind it, or is it just from things that
Oh,
you've been
of
through?
course. There's pretty much stories behind almost every Worldwide Panic song.
Okay, that's good to know, because some people just write, for stories. So,
Yeah, no, there's pretty much almost stories behind every Worldwide Panic song, whether it's a story about what the song is about or the making of the song. There's always this band is rich with stories, and Break Me Down is no different. It was born out of we were shopping for producers for the greatest film the world has ever seen, and we were taking meetings. And we without naming names, we were in a very big studio with a very big producer, and he was just going through some of our catalog, and this is stuff that ended up charting very high on Billboard, and he's critiquing it and saying, "Where's the hook? And what's this?" And just being very negative and very, very judgmental. And me and the co-writer of the song went to the car, and I think it started with, "Yeah, I don't want to work with him because I don't want to work with someone who's going to break me down to build me up again."
Love it.
And I think about 3 days later, we wrote that song,
Yeah,
and
that's.
that's it. We didn't. And we wrote it with, in my opinion, a bigger producer in a better studio. And that producer who ended up doing it was Bob Marlette, and I think he's such a, if you guys, take the time to look up Bob Marlette, I mean, the resume speaks for itself. I mean, you're talking about, Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, Dee Snider, Ozzy Osbourne, the original Black Sabbath, Saliva, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, from just luminaries to, Tracy Chapman, Fast Cars, he was one of the songwriter producers on that. I mean, the guy is just, he's a double diamond producer, is who he is, what he does. And he took that song and, made it into greatness. And that song is something that I hope to be remembered by when I'm gone, because it's something that I'm super proud of. And, more so than any of the other Worldwide Panic songs, I feel like that encapsulates the mission statement of Worldwide Panic is Break Me Down.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, the break me down to build me up, and I think that goes across for all humans on all aspects of life, because we all run into those
Sure.
people, and sometimes we have the choice to either cower and allow them to do that, or you have that line, like you guys did, and walked away, and that speaks volumes. But the song is impactful, absolutely impactful. And I share it a lot with a lot of different people for multiple different reasons. So I love that song.
And it's fucking heavy. It just bops. It's just got such vibe. And it was like, with our previous, singles that we did, I felt like, they just didn't have that heaviness and that drive. Like, they're good songs, like all of them, but like Break Me Down just gives you that, it just gives you everything. It gives you that radio friendly thing. It gives you that boppy thing. It just gives you everything all in just, under 3.5 minutes, which is great, and just kind of sends it home. And a lot of people quantize it to, oh, it sounds like nu metal, oh, it sounds like Linkin Park, oh, it sounds like this. And I mean, whatever, man. It's so fucking dumb to play that game.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever found another band that sounds exactly like you guys. You guys.
I appreciate that, because I don't think we're innovators of sound. But I'm trying to take the metal thing, I'm trying to take the hard rock thing, I'm trying to take the groove metal thing, and I'm trying to take the industrial thing and mold it all into one. And I think when people hear, oh, my band has samples, that it's like, oh, well, you must be like this or that, the other. And I'm trying to take it to like that 90s, early 2000s industrial thing, but fuel injected with modern harmonies. And I haven't really heard a lot of bands that do the industrial thing but also have harmonies and crazy melodies and that kind of thing. So I do feel like we do offer something a little bit different than what people are used to hearing.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you have definitely original all the way around, really, when it came to it. That was part of the draw as well. And the song, super memorable, that one and all of them, but especially that one, you only have to hear it once and you will not forget it. It sticks in your mind. So I think that
Okay, cool.
you have a little medicine going on in there to where it like sticks in people's minds.
Appreciate that.
The other song and is one of your new ones is Below It All.
Yeah.
And I like that song for a different reason. I also like the whole space vibe you have going on
Sure.
within the video as well. Do you have a story behind that one?
Of course. Thought you'd never ask.
You're getting familiar now with my questions.
Right. It is about somebody important in everybody's lives. I'll just leave it at that. And it's about how this person, particularly in my life, thought that because of monetary value, that they were above everything and everybody. And how in fact that they were, having a lot, left to be desired emotionally inside, because they were, thinking that they were above everything. And if you think you're above it all, if you think you can wrap the stars in a ball and swallow the entire universe, you'll be below it all. So there you go.
True.
Yeah.
True. do offer this people. And I think my
I had that
idea of,
lyric. I had that lyric written down on a piece of paper since before COVID, and it's so just like fuck yeah! Like I was able to take that shit and put it in a song somewhere, and there was like five different drafts and me strumming on a guitar with dumb chords, dumber than the ones that ended up in the song. And it's just like fuck yeah! Just like some lyrics you go in the studio and you just vamp, and then something comes out and it's good. That one was definitely like, I got this,
now, are you able to, like, in my world, like, we'll write things down and burn it to try to let go as like symbolic and things like that. When you put the lyrics down and you complete the song, does that allow you a little bit of release from whatever you're writing about?
Oh, sure. Speaking of writing lyrics and burning them, there was a song off the previous record with called Self-Titled Worldwide Panic. Not a song that I feel like never got a lot of its due, called Burn Letter. And it was about I got together with an old friend of mine who stood in and played drums in the band, and we ended up getting into a physical altercation. And I'm not, not a big tough guy. And a lot of guys go around and say, "I beat the shit out of this guy." It's like, you shouldn't be fucking proud of that, man. A lot of guys in Los Angeles, they go around and they talk about, "I'm gonna beat the shit out of." Okay, all right, I get it. You're so tough, and I'm so weak, and it's great. But it was unfortunate that our relationship devolved into a physical altercation. And this song, Burn Letter, was about I just wanted to sit there and fucking tell you how much you hurt me and how much you betrayed me and how much you this that and me, but I'm gonna write this letter and I'm gonna burn it. And I'm not gonna give you the satisfaction of, you've already got my goat by, making me lower myself to a physical altercation with you, which is not who I am and what I do. And burn letter.
Yeah, no, that's my language right there. That's I think that when we can do things like that, at least in my world, it's I think it goes back to kind of like forgiveness as well. Like, I have to forgive you. It's like for me, not for you. Like
Yeah,
like I
exactly.
have to not let you hold on to me anymore with all the shit you put me through. And I mean the amount of letters that I've burned and done that too. It's
Sure.
I think that it is definitely therapeutic. And I think people, if you can't talk or you don't want to and you still have things to say, like you can get out into the universe is what I always say. Like throw it
Yeah,
out there.
absolutely, for sure. For
Yeah,
sure.
definitely. So when people come to your shows or after they listen to your music, what do you have hopes that they walk away from other than like come back? You have to listen to more. Like, what are some things you hope that they walk away with?
I've had people say terrible things. I don't think people want to admit that. I've had people say terrible things. I've had people say, "Well, they forced me to buy merch. They put a gun to my head. They made me buy a t-shirt." And I felt, I heard all this stuff about Lane, and I ended up burning the shirt, and I wiped my ass with it, and how dare he? And it's just so I just hope that people want more, will buy another ticket, will come, will embrace the fact that this is, that they're, right now the lineup is myself, David Roach, and Kyle Mayer. But this band is, circulated about talking about my crazy life experiences, and that's what this band is about. So you're either a part of that journey, or you can get attached to people, who, were in the band for wrong reasons and didn't contribute creatively to the that end goal, and no disrespect again. It's just I'm selling myself, I'm selling my life story, I'm selling a concert experience that I feel is unique in the sense that, we're trying to make people pay attention. And sometimes people fucking don't, man. I think that's the other thing people don't want to admit. Like, sometimes we play a longer set and people go out and have a cigarette. There's nothing that I can do to, more than I'm already doing to, get people's attention and hold it. But I want people to walk away with an experience. I want people to walk away with the knowing that they were there in a moment in time that was pivotal,
That's beautiful. That's what music's about, is being there, and I guess being with other people who need that song or need that moment too. And that's what kind of
Sure.
binds a lot of us together.
Sure.
People can be in your journey with you in your crazy life, or they're going to get put in a song.
It seems that way, right?
maybe not by words, but by experience, right? Because
Yeah.
I mean, they get put in my burn letters. It's what happens. Our life experiences take us all over. And I don't know. I think that I got to a point to where I had to just walk away from people who weren't meant for me anymore, because I had more to do. And makes it difficult. But what do you have coming up? I know you told me a little bit in the beginning about some things
Sure.
you have coming up, but what do you have coming up?
Sure. We're going on a headlining tour called the Continuum Tour starting next month in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to Phoenix. We're going to Portolas, New Mexico. We're going to Colorado Springs. We're going to Dallas. We're going to Oklahoma City. And then we're playing not in this particular order. We're going to El Paso, Austin, and San Antonio.
Do you have you have you did you say you're putting out a new album, or you're working
We
on
are
a new
putting
album?
out a new album. It's called The Greatest Villain the World Has Ever Seen. It is a cathartic experience of how I feel vilified by this wonderful industry. And it's it's just getting that poison out and just talking about, the feelings behind it all and, dealing with it, head on. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by, just how real I'm getting here. Especially people who know me and know my story a little bit better. I think that there's a little bit of everything on this record. You got Break Me Down. You got Below It All. You got Party All the Time, which is the Eddie Murphy cover that we put out.
Which is great.
You got, oh, thanks. And then you got some really serious songs like the title track, The Greatest Villain the World Has Ever Seen. You got some serious songs like Pictures of Ghosts, which is talking about ex-bandmates and people who used to be in your life that were pivotal characters who are just ghosts. There's tons of stuff on this record for everybody. There's super dark stuff, there's heavy stuff, there's lighter stuff, and then there's party all
Nice.
the
So it's
time.
a blend of all kinds. That's great.
Yeah, so
That's
I
great.
feel like people can really get behind it and enjoy the listening experience of the record. I've listened to it like 40 or 50 times already, and I think it's great, so.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I always or where can people find you to come and support you at a show, or do you have a website? Tell them where they can come find you.
Sure. Yeah. WorldwidePanicBand.com is the website. You can go there for, all tour information and social information. We do update the Facebook quite often. It's Worldwide Panic backslash, I think it's Facebook backslash Worldwide Panic. I think we were lucky enough to get that. And on the Instagram, it's worldwide underscore panic. And we try new things. We try to keep things, interesting for the people to get involved. And I'm trying to evolve myself and get with the trends and not get left behind. And it's a process. What can I tell you? So,
A lot of work, isn't
it's a lot of work, especially when you do your own thing. But when you do your own thing, you have the creative control of how you want to be perceived. And I think that that's the end all that's the payoff of, being able to do your own thing, is you can control the perception a little bit more if you I wouldn't recommend it. It's not for the faint of heart.
I'm always like, I need help, but hang on, I gotta do it this way. So it's like it is that like double edge, like you have all this freedom and all that instead of giving it away, I guess, to someone else.
Sure, but then you have all the stress of,
So.
and people love the comparison game, man. They love to compare you to the Jack and Jill on the fucking street, and it's like, I don't need the virtue signaling, man. I'm not in this for the wrong reasons. It's like, yeah, anyway.
No, I get that. I think my biggest comparison has been because I do the podcast and I do talk about mental health, and it doesn't have to be like about specific stories. It can be about like, you write about all the stuff that you've been through or whatever. And I've had so many people say, well, if you'll just stop talking about mental health and just ask only about music, then you're going to have more people that'll be on the podcast. And I'm like, I know, but the music industry literally is riddled with people who need to get their story out, not,
Right. I think we should
and
just
that's.
address the elephant in the room. Kitty hit me up, and I honestly told her that I was hesitant to be a part of a mental health driven podcast. And I think the reason is because I'm so fucked up mentally. I don't want to give bad advice to people,
Listen, that's not where I was going, actually, but I appreciate you saying that. I try to navigate it with as much grace and respect as possible because I think everybody's story, whether it be through music or be on here, that allows someone else the ability to see themselves in someone else, and it gives them freedom to do the same thing instead of just thinking that, oh, it only happens to just me. And I appreciate you coming on so much. So.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had fun.
So the last question that I do always ask in the podcast with is if someone is struggling that and they come to you with anything that would be mental health, what would you say to them as far as a words of wisdom or something that you've learned along the way?
Talking is good, but who are you talking to? And I think you got to be careful about, with me, I have a tendency to overshare, and I have a big mouth. And I just, I sit there and I just jabber jaw all fucking day. And I don't realize, like, well, this isn't the right person to say this to. And then I overshare this, and I share too much of this. And you got to get the right, healthcare provider if you are struggling. You got to talk to the right people. You got to have the right friends and family around. And it's all about building that support system where you are, saying the right things to the right people and not the wrong things to the wrong people.
That is such a great answer. That's one that we haven't had yet. And knowing the people that are really there just for you is just a whole life lesson of why are they around me and who do I keep around me? So.
And you got to keep an open heart. You can't just, be jaded. I know a lot of people who, hold back because if they've gotten hurt in the past, and it's like, okay, well, let that be the past, learn what lesson you need to move on and move forward.
That's true. We that's a lot of the stuff that we teach about, or I teach about, is that, it's a lot of the way that we react right now, moment to moment, is from past stuff. So we have to try and learn to react out of like this moment, but it's very, very hard to do whenever we've had so many things happen in the past.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I would love to have you on to talk more about future albums and things like that once that comes out, if you're open to that. So
If I survive it,
you're gonna survive it. The
okay.
world needs it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.